Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome to the show. Happy Monday morning as the Titans win 42-21 yesterday against the Oakland Raiders in a dominant second-half performance. We are out here at Sudden Service up in White's Creek, right off I-24, of course. The address is 500 Hickory Boulevard. You can come donate school supplies, of course, for the Pencil Foundation, toys for our kids, which is the charity that I work for, and, of course, winter clothing, blankets, warm jackets, whatever, for the homeless. The season of giving, of course, here at 102.5. Corey Curtis from News 2 joining us here on the show. Corey, I don't know what you felt in the first few minutes of that game yesterday versus how you felt at the end, but I'm guessing it was very different.
Well, the way things had gone yesterday for all around the NFL, I had an uneasy feeling about that game because it was a real trap game, a real look-ahead game for the Titans. The Texans got caught, and you know, the Titans' defense was kind of a sieve in the first half. And so I was concerned, but you know, offensively they were playing the right way, and it was just going to be interesting to see what they did in the second half. And boy, did they push all the right buttons.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think the offense continued to, other than, you know, the start of the third quarter where they, I think they had a three and out. Other than that, the offense continued to you know, put up yardage and put up points in bunches. The defense is what I was concerned of. Way they played in the first half compared to the second half was night and day. What did you see from the defense? Because it's not like they brought in new players or anything. They had the same players out there, but it just seems like they were able to confuse Derek Carr more so in the second half than they did in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, because the first half, you know, they had the big busted coverage that sent Rico Gafford for a 49-yard touchdown, but you know, they weren't really slowing them down. But if you remember the first half, they were getting chunks in the run game, 6-7 yards at a time. So they tightened that up and they slowed that down and put the game Derek Carr at that point. And their coverage.
We lose Corey there?
I think we lost Corey.
Sounds like we lost Corey, Marquise. We'll see if we can effort to get him back on the line. By the way, the bad Christmas gift tweets are rolling in at 1025_MD. A moment's peace, $100 gift card there. And as we effort Corey Curtis to get back, your worst Christmas gift ever as an adult. How about this one? A gift card, a $100 gift card that comes with an online wine order, so you had to spend $200 to use the $100 gift card. That's pretty bad.
Wow.
It's pretty bad. That is from Brandon. That's from Brandon on Twitter. We're going to read a few more of these. Corey rejoining us here. Corey Curtis from News 2. And, Corey, I don't know what you were saying there, so I'll just ask you a new question here. But, the offensive efficiency, the numbers, the records, the history, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, the offense, all that stuff, is there any one particular stat that stands out to you? As you know, yards per play was the greatest in franchise history. Derrick Henry's moving up record books. What of all of the, you know, there's a dozen different records that the Titans are setting right now. Which one is the most important and impressive to you that tells you that, hey, this is sustainable against Houston in two of the next three games?
Well, to me, the most important thing is the Derrick Henry stats. Four straight 100-yard games, him joining Earl Campbell and DeMarco Murray as the only backs in franchise history with with touchdowns in five straight games rushing the football, because their whole attack centers on that. I mean, the 91-yard touchdown by A.J. Brown comes courtesy of Derrick Henry in the run game. You know, everything comes off that run game in what they're doing right now. You know, Ryan Tannehill is playing fantastic, so don't get me wrong, but the Titans still don't want to go out there and sling it 40 times a game without running the football, because I don't know if people noticed this stat or not yesterday as well. This was just the second time this year the Titans got through a game without a sack. So sustainability of this attack is based on the run game and the performance of the offensive line, which seems to have cleaned up a lot of its problems. You're not seeing the negative plays in the run game. You're not seeing the sacks. You're not seeing the penalties. So Ryan Tannehill is not having to work from third and 15 and from, you know, first and 20. And that's a huge difference for this football team. And they can win a lot of games doing that.
Yeah, you're right, Corey. This team has been able to run the ball effectively. And in doing so, it has opened up the passing game. And the beneficiary of that has been A.J. Brown. He had, what, five catches yesterday, averaged over 20 yards per catch. What are you seeing from this young man? Because what I think what he's doing is playing within an offense that caters more toward his skill set. Play action pass, hitting this guy downfield, letting him get the ball in his hands, and then he's a violent runner afterwards.
Well, he had four catches for 152 yards. He averaged 35 yards a catch, which is pretty unreal. And he had the two touchdowns. And he's playing much more confidently. And what's happening, Derek, is they're running that play action, and they're drawing the two middle linebackers up, and they're running that cross or slant over the middle of the field, and it's open because those two linebackers are 2 or 3 yards up, biting on the play action. And once you get that 220-pound, 225-pound guy the football, it's like handing Derrick Henry the football 15 yards into the secondary. And it's a mismatch on all of those defensive backs. It just is. Even on the 91-yard touchdown, the defensive back got a hand on his legs, but the darn guy's just too powerful, and he just ripped right through it. You know, when he caught that cross in the middle for the touchdown on the shorter one, I mean, he was like a bowling ball through those guys. And so they're using the play action to get him the ball deep in the middle and then just wreak carnage. And it's a good understanding by Arthur Smith, the offense, of what they've got, the mismatch they can create, and how to create it. And then it's a great job by A.J. Brown of using his physical tools to his best ability.
Corey Curtis, News 2, joining us here. Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall. And the Titans win 42-21 in incredibly impressive fashion. However, so listen, it's all gravy right now today, but I am going to ask, Derek Henry a little slowed there with what looks like the hamstring. A.J. Brown a little banged up through the ankle, played through it. You've got the secondary on defense. You know, this team has been largely healthy up until a couple of weeks ago. Jayon Brown missed some time. Jarrell Casey's back. What do you make of the current health status of this roster, and how concerned are you moving forward?
It was not good. I mean, and especially they've gotten through it these last 2 weeks in the secondary. But let's face it, they have not faced, you know, the San Francisco 49ers of Jerry Rice and company in the receiving core the last 2 weeks. You know, they have had good matchups for a banged-up secondary the last 2 weeks. And now they've had guys step up. And we've seen teams in the past have injuries and the guys step up, and we say, man, how do they get through it? And we're finally seeing the Titans be able to do it. And so John Robinson deserves credit, you know, for what he's done at the bottom of the roster with guys like Ty Smith, who's made huge plays 2 weeks in a row. But it's about to get a whole lot harder the next three games. You know, the deficiencies in the secondary, if they don't get guys healthy, could really show up against players like, you know, DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller and Michael Thomas. So they've got some massive challenges in front of them. They need to get healthy. Of course, they need to keep, you know, Derrick Henry on the football field. So I wouldn't panic, everybody, when you see a did not practice on Wednesday and Thursday for Henry, because I think he'll be limited at the least. And, you know, John Robinson, I commend looking at the big picture, understanding his team had the game, you know, put away, because so often I look at games in the NFL and I wonder, why the hell is that guy still out there? And Derek got his 100 and he pulled the plug and said, thanks for playing, we'll see you next week.
Now, obviously the two games versus Houston, they got one against New Orleans, 2 out of 3 are at home, which is good for the Tennessee Titans. I think they need to win 2 out of 3 to at least keep themselves in the playoff talk, and those two games need to be against Houston. They can afford to lose to New Orleans, but they must win the two games versus Houston. Will and because this is the thing. 9-7 doesn't get them in, but does 10-6 get them in?
I do think 10-6 will get them in. The Steelers still have the Bills and the Ravens, and I have a hard time believing that they're good enough to win either of those games. I was frankly a little surprised they got through yesterday in Arizona. Like, Tomlin's done an amazing job winning games, but I don't think they're good enough to beat teams with winning records at this point of the season. So I think the Ravens, the Steelers will fall to 9-7. And so if the Titans were to beat the Texans twice, at 10-6, that would get them there. I'm not sure at 9-7 where that would put them with the Steelers in the tiebreaker because of the AFC record. I think if they lost to the Saints was a lot, I'd have to look, but I agree.
They're a half game back right now, the Steelers, Corey. It's 6-3 versus 6-4.
Okay. So they're a loss back. So, you know, who they lose to certainly matters. You know, beating the Texans two times in a row, I don't want to say it's impossible. It's not impossible. It's going to be tough. You know, these next three games are all going to be really tough. Because, you know, even worse than playing good teams, you got three games against two teams who have a ton to play for. And so there's no gimmies, you know, the rest of the way for the Tennessee Titans. And it's going to be awfully interesting. But, hey, they're still in position to possibly win the division, which is incredible where they were at 2-4, and I declared, you know, the season over. You know, so why you're talking to me, I don't even know. I clearly don't know what I'm talking about.
Corey Curtis, News 2, what's the dollar figure for Ryan Tannehill right now that you would say in the year? What are the numbers on that contract that you'd say, yeah, that sounds good to me, bring him back?
It sounds good for the Titans, sounds good for Tannehill, or sounds good realistically?
All of the above? I guess for the Titans' perspective, if Tannehill wants, obviously, the star on the moons, I don't know how close he gets to that or how many years. Is it a bridge deal? Is it a franchise tag? What do you expect them to do here?
3 years, $75 million. I mean, he's over $20 million if he's going to be a starting quarterback. I mean, if the Titans don't give it to him, somebody else will. So, I mean, and I would imagine that it'll be a deal that is probably escapable after 2 years, depending on what else they do with the quarterback position. Because the nice thing is, you know, they're going to be in a position where even if they pay Tannehill, they can still draft somebody. And they can still figure out if in 2 years if this is their guy or not. You know, because not to say that Ryan Tannehill can't be a long, long-term answer, but he is, 31 years old, and he is playing at an unprecedented Tannehill level. We've never seen this from Ryan Tannehill. If we had, he wouldn't be a Tennessee Titan. So, you know, it's great, and I hope it's sustainable. I hope we can see this for the next 3 to 5 years, but I don't know. But they're clearly going to have to pay him, and they're going to have to pay him starting quarterback money, because like I said, if they don't, you know, the Bengals or the Buccaneers or the Broncos may be in Drew Lock business now, but the Chargers or somebody is going to pay him.
Corey Curtis, News 2. Let's just hope he keeps it up for the next 3 to 5 games. And if that means they get a couple of playoff games and they're playing the way they are playing now, Derek said it earlier, only the Ravens are playing better football than them right now in the AFC. So, Corey, thank you so much, man. We do appreciate it. Have a good rest of your day, bud.
All right, thank you very much. Hey, I think when I got cut off, I was saying that the biggest play of that game wasn't the scoop and score. It was the sack by Jeffrey Simmons, tied at 21 on the Titans' 40-yard line. A really under-the-radar play that was a huge play in that football game.
I'll go one more. I think the rollout 3-yard swing pass to Kari Blossom game in the shadow of their own goal line that picked up 30 yards down the sideline, that after forcing Oakland to punt, it was still a tied game, and then they went down the field and scored to take the lead. I could throw that one in there, and that's not one that people are going to remember at all. Listen, that's what they're doing right now, Corey, is all these little things that you have to do to win games in the NFL, and they've won 4 straight, and they've won 7 out of 8. So,
yeah, a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Corey Curtis, News 2, we do appreciate it. When we return, of course, you look at Tannehill. We just talked about the numbers. We just talked about the performances and the records with Derrick Henry. It is one of the most remarkable runs in franchise history, and I want, Derek, you to put some historical context on that when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Check it out to all my men listeners out there. I've been telling you this for a while now, and you know who it's about. My good folks over at Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife, Daphne, along with that wonderful and experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of the Brentwood, Nashville, Franklin, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune systems, energy level, cognitive functions, and more. Do like I did. Go over there and check them out. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And fellas, that's what we need. So why don't we just go down to Cool Springs MD? Because we want a healthier lifestyle. So what are you waiting on? Here's the number to make that appointment. Okay, write it down. Put it in your smartphone. All right, here we go. 615-486-3458. 615-486-3458. Or if you can't get to your telephone and you're at your computer, you're at work, here, go to their website. Here it is, coolspringsmd.com.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from Sudden Service Convenience Store out here in Whites Creek, right off I-24, 500 Hickory Boulevard. Come by. By the way, Gina from Promotions is here, Derek, and she has got a little giveaway box over here where you can register to win an authentic Winter Classic 2020 sweater, as they say, in the hockey world. So you can come win a jersey, one of those really cool Winter Classic jerseys. Also donate, we want toys, winter clothing, and school supplies. Of course, we're the season of giving last week and this week. We're trying to help give back to the community, the wonderful community that listens to this show every day and this channel every day. So we do appreciate you guys. So make sure you come on out. They'll give you a free cup of Joe, which what I learned today, also from Gina from Promotions, is that old Josephus Daniels back in World War I outlawed alcohol, and everybody said, well, we better drink coffee instead. And that's where Cup of Joe comes from. You asked, where's Cup of Joe come from?
And that's where it comes
from. So there you go. Also, Moments Peace Day Spa, $100 gift card contest, and the answers are rolling in at 1025_MD. We've got some really interesting answers here. Again, tweet at 1025_MD your worst Christmas gift as an adult. We will pick a winner at the end of the show, $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Day Spa. How about when I was 16, my mom got me a toilet seat that had a lighthouse on it.
I love it.
She said it was actually a joke, so that one doesn't really count. And you were 16. I said you had to be an adult. Jeremy says a friend of mine unknowingly regifted a present that he had given to him.
Unknowingly?
So like,
oh, he forgot so like, that, it'd be that like, he it, gave
yeah,
the present.
It'd be like,
oh,
okay, me giving you like a sweater, and then like 3 years later, you give me that same sweater back. And I'd be like, dude,
I gave you
that sweater. You can't re-gift that. James on Twitter says, worst Christmas present ever. My aunt gave me the double whammy. I opened up the wrapping to see a Chia Pet box, so I had to pretend to get excited about that. And she said, no, open that box. You know, the old double, the box inside the box. It was a used pair of socks. A used
was
pair
that
of
a,
socks. That cannot be real.
Yeah, was that a gag gift?
It has to be.
Yeah, that had to
that
be
is from
guy.
James, but that's going to be hard to beat, a used pair of socks. Julian on Twitter says, my wife gave me some suitcases that matched the ones that she bought for herself. There wasn't a trip, just the suitcases.
Oh, wow.
Now, a good suitcase is pretty cool, though. So
yeah.
I can't put Julian, I don't know. It does sound like the wife was buying you a gift for herself. But a nice suitcase is a nice suitcase. It's way better than a pair of used socks.
Man, that's messed up.
Let me see here. What else we got? Shane, my mother-in-law's stepdaughter got me shampoo and conditioner. I'm bald.
Well, listen, bald people can use shampoo and conditioner.
Do you?
Yeah, I put shampoo and conditioner
on
my scalp.
But wouldn't you want to use like some like skin care stuff or whatever?
It's good for your scalp. The shampoo conditioner. Yeah, it's good.
Okay. Sounds like some lady at Nordstrom's who is probably pretty cute sold you on something.
My man right here, he know you got to use it. Exactly. You got to use shampoo and conditioner, man. You got to.
You've been hanging out at Nordstrom's way too long.
No, it's your scalp, man. You don't want your head to be all scaly and stuff.
All right. Okay. Would you want that as a Christmas gift, though?
No, I wouldn't want it as a Christmas gift, though.
So at 1025 underscore MD, the worst Christmas gift you've ever gotten as an adult. We'll give away a $100 gift card at the end of the show. And we're doing that every single day. CJK on Twitter. I got a goldfish.
How long did that goldfish last? That's what I want to know.
I like the tweet, though. Very simple. I got a goldfish. I like the execution there from CKJ. Good stuff there. All right. So you played for this organization, the Tennessee Titans, for a long time. 42-21 winners. They've now won four consecutive games, all four in the AFC. They now have a 6-4 AFC record. They're a half game back of the Steelers for the wild card. They are tied for the Texans for the AFC South lead in that division. Since Tannehill came in, I believe, he's 6-1 as a starter in seven games. Offensively, we've talked about all the records. 9.36 yards per play yesterday was a record for this franchise in any game ever. Mm-hmm. It was the highest total by any team in the NFL this year. Derrick Henry joins a lot of different lists of records, whether it's yards rushing, consecutive seasons, touchdowns, yards per carry. Derrick Henry, by the way, now at 4.71 yards per carry for his career, is number one all-time in Tennessee Titans history. 350-yard passer, 100-yard rusher, 150-yard passer yesterday with A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, and Ryan Tannehill. We are talking about unprecedented levels of success, and they are winning games all along the way. You played for this organization for a long time, Derrick. Where does this section of this two-month window here, since Tannehill took over, where does this fall in your memory banks as far as this organization and excitement level as far as... I mean, this is one of the most improbable stories I can possibly think of.
No,
even if
you
loved Ryan Tannehill in the summer, there's no. Even if you were a Tan stan, there's no way you saw this coming.
No, you didn't. You thought that Ryan Tannehill coming here, he was just going to be the placeholder, the clipboard holder for Marcus, because you figure Marcus would have a better season, and for all intents and purposes, they tried to kind of put this offense together and center it around Marcus. But he remained a pro. He played his role, and when he got his opportunity, he has now made the best of it. Sometimes quarterbacks just need a change of a scenery. I think Marcus is a starter in this league. I just think he needs to go somewhere else to achieve that. Just like Ryan, he's come here now and he doesn't look anything like the quarterback he was in Miami.
Yeah, it's not even
now,
close.
There
he
was
wouldn't
one
be here.
Year where he did have a pretty good year, but that was one out of what, 5 or 6 years, there in Miami. But if you look at what he has done, it is unprecedented. I think the only quarterback that has put up these type of numbers is Billy Volek. In a short period of time, Billy Volek, when Mac went down that season and he played the last five games, I believe, he put up historic numbers. I mean, he broke NFL numbers with what he was doing, Billy Volek. And this is reminiscent to what Billy did. But the part about Billy is we were not winning because we had so many injuries. What Ryan is doing, not only is he efficient, not only he's made this his offense, they're winning football games. And if he continues to play this way, then, the sky's the limit for this team, because they have what every team looks for. They have a really good running game. And if he can just stay consistent with what he's doing in the passing game, stay efficient.
That throw to Jonnu Smith where the tight end is lined up on the right side of the formation.
Yes.
And he drags
excellent play
coverage.
Call, by the way.
But like he's open, but he's not really open. It's a great throw, but it's not it's a good throw, but it's not a great throw. He's rolling off platform and just heaves it. But it's a touchdown. That's when you know things are going your way, when a play like that works, because it was a great play call, I'm not sure it should have been. I mean, the defender was right there to make the play, and Jonnu Smith made a great play. Tannehill just kind of chucks it and gets all arm on it and gets it where it needs to be. When that kind of play is working for you, you know you're everyone's feeling good, right?
Well, yeah, that shows you his arm strength, and that it was just a really good play design. I think he had to throw it off his back foot because he got pressure.
And he was
but
running.
He knew the guy was open. He knew Jonnu was open. The linebacker don't know what he was thinking. Jonnu got behind him, and Ryan Tannehill just put the ball up where only Jonnu could get it. He feels comfortable in this offense. He has so much confidence right now that it's bleeding over everyone. Corey Curtis talked about A.J. Brown, his confidence now. You could see him catching a ball with his hands, getting up the field. Jonnu Smith, Corey Davis, you know, Sharp, he had some big catches. Khalif Raymond had a few big catches. So that confidence that, because you didn't see this the first six games of the season with these guys. You just didn't see it. All of a sudden, Ryan's inserted, and he and A.J. Brown has become this 1-2 connection. And then a guy like Khalif Raymond can come in, and he's building up some confidence. I said this weeks ago, it reminds me of when Neil O'Donnell came in and had this, you know, he came in for McNair when McNair was hurting, when he got hurt. Neil came in, and he just had that confidence because he had been there before. He had that confidence. Go out there and play. Go out there and play. He made plays, and it started to bleed over everybody else. So even with Mac down, we felt that we were still in a good position to win football games.
Right.
It's not like when Mac went down, we were like, oh, my goodness, where are we gonna? What are we going to do? No. When Mac came, when Neil came in, we just picked up right where we left off. Honestly, I think we got a little bit better because we started to gain confidence in our passing offense. And then when Matt came back, we just kind of took off even more. So, I mean, you got to take your hats off to Ryan Tannehill.
No question.
Because
he's leading the NFL in yards per attempt. He's leading the NFL in quarterback rating. And he's second only to Drew Brees by like 0.5% in completion percentage. Now, all of those are career highs. You can't expect him to maintain that stuff, but who cares? Ride the wave while you can.
Exactly.
There's no question about it. Now, I will say this about A.J. Brown, and I remember telling you guys this way back after week one, because it wasn't just Tannehill. He was good with Marcus, too. Had 100 yards in his first game ever as an NFL player against Cleveland. He had 94 yards and 2 touchdowns against Atlanta with Marcus. Yeah. He had a great game there. Now these last couple of games against Jacksonville and against Oakland have been off the charts. You know, the whole offense is running better. But A.J. Brown, you could see how good he was from the word go. I stand by. I think this A.J. Brown, I think this Titans Brown rookie is better than the Baltimore Ravens Brown rookie. I think A.J. Brown is – I said it on draft night. I said it after week one. I'll say it today. I think Marquise Brown's going to be a really nice player in this league for the Ravens. I think the Titans got the better one.
I think they – I just think it's two different offenses. Because – I mean, if you put A.J. Brown in Baltimore's offense, he doesn't have 700 yards because of the way their offense. They are a tight end-driven offense. They want to run the football. They want to use H-backs their quarterbacks in a dynamic way. So
he's 219 yards away from 1,000 yards as a rookie.
Yeah, so you put the other Brown, Marquise Brown, in this offense, and maybe, I mean, with his speed, yeah, he's going to get those chunk plays as well. So it's just two guys – different skill set in two different offenses. I think if you take
– hard to compare.
Yeah,
If you put A.J. Brown in
Baltimore's offense, it'd be hard for him to get catches because they are a tight end-driven offense and run the ball, whereas the Titans, they are a running back and receiver-driven offense. Now that Delanie Walker – man, I hadn't said that name in a long time. Delanie Walker is not playing.
It's on IR.
Yeah, so.
Not a factor. Jonnu Smith caught another touchdown yesterday, by the way. All right, when we come back, the college football playoff is set. Did the committee get it right? We will discuss. We are at Sudden Service up in White's Creek, right off I-24, obviously 500 Hickory Boulevard. You can win a Winter Classic jersey and donate a bunch of stuff for kids and the homeless, warm clothing, toys, school supplies. Please come by, say hello, get yourself a free cup of coffee, and register to win some stuff. We've already had some people come by, and we do appreciate you guys. When we come back, college football playoff is set. Did the committee get it right? Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Mm-hmm. Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, live from Sudden Service in White's Creek, right off I-24. 500 Hickory Boulevard. Come by. You can register to win a authentic Predators Winter Classic jersey. Preds win 6-4 against the Devils, and P.K. Subban's return on Saturday night. Pick up a couple of more points, now up to 31 points. I think they had 4 2-goal leads in that game. What a wild game that was on Saturday night as well. We are also, of course, giving away a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Day Spa every single day this week. Tweet today at 1025 underscore MD, the worst Christmas gift you have ever gotten as an adult, and we will read that to you. Here's the thing. We do have a brand new fancy text line, 615-737-1025, and somebody texted us in one of their worst Christmas gifts, which is a fantastic story, by the way. How about this? He says, I used to work at Vanderbilt basketball games, and my ex-girlfriend bought me tickets to the Vanderbilt basketball game. So basically, I lost money because I had to take off work to watch the game with her in the stands. But that's a great story.
Uh-huh.
Very funny. It's on the text line. You didn't follow instructions. At 1025 underscore MD on Twitter. That's a great story. You can text the show if you have comments about the Titans' big win, 42-21, over the Oakland Raiders yesterday, as they are now in tied for first place in the AFC South and a half game back of the Steelers due to conference tiebreaker at 8-5, as the Steelers beat the Cardinals yesterday in the NFC, and they are now at 8-5 as well, tied for that last wild card spot. Here's a couple of them from at 1025 underscore MD. Every year my father gives me jumper cables. That's cool.
Oh, wow.
My wife and I were gifted a squatty potty. The people who gifted it to us told us how awesome it was for them. I'm not going to lie. We have one of those. We have it upstairs for the girls.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. I'm not going to lie. I'll sign up for the squatty potty. I don't think that's a bad gift at all. He's not going to win. Matt's not going to win.
Read that again.
He said, my wife and I were gifted a squatty potty, which, do you know what that is?
Yeah. But, they have kids.
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
That's a good
question. We should be at. Matt, tell us if you have kids. Here's what I'll say, without divulging too much information. We have it upstairs in the girls' bathroom. Uh-huh. They use it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. I've used it, too. And it's it's a very productive and efficient piece of equipment. I'm just saying. It's fantastic.
What is, because I think I'm picturing,
I think their tagline is cleaner elimination, I think.
I'm picturing squatty potty like as being a low, just like a low on the ground.
Basically, if you just put a box in front of your toilet, it's a squatty potty that you can stand on. It's just like something that gives the kids my 3-year-old
can
climb up onto the toilet or whatever.
But and their feet are not dangling.
Exactly. But it also works for adults. I'm just saying. It works for adults, too.
Okay, I can see that.
It does.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. Just sometimes saying. You got to use a squatty potty.
Sometimes. So, Matt, you're not going to win. That's a great gift. Chaz on Twitter says, Christmas in 2013 was given a pair of socks that said on the socks, quote, worst Christmas gift ever.
But that's
kind of cool.
It is, but that's more of a gag gift.
Right.
So they knew it was going to be a bad gift.
Glenn on Twitter says, my grandma gave me an empty box, didn't say anything until she asked me if I liked what I got. Evidently, she forgot to wrap the underwear and socks.
Oh, wow.
Just a mistake by Granny,
no.
I think.
Yeah, it is. But
we'll get to the college football playoff in a second. This
nowadays,
is way better.
Are grandparents the only people that can get away with buying,
and
maybe your wife,
underwear
for someone?
I'm not going to lie, Derek. I'm 37 years old. I'm not sure I've bought a pair of underwear for another human being at any point in my life.
I mean, I bought I bought some for,
I know what you're about to say. I'm not even sure I've done that.
You haven't?
Not for anybody.
Man, get your game up, dog.
Sorry, dude.
You got to, man.
Man, I'm too busy changing diapers, man. I buy diapers every day. Does that
those
count?
Are, yeah.
Yes. I bought my two kids thousands of pairs of underwear.
Yes, there we go.
And then they fill them with crap, literally. I got to change them. How about this one? And I think this might be our leader in the clubhouse. Lynn on Twitter. I had just given birth to child number 3, and my mother-in-law gave me a thigh master.
Oh, hell no. You don't give a woman that just had a baby a thigh master. I'm surprised
too.
She didn't throw it back at you.
I mean, those things are hard, right? You
can... I know.
That Lynn might be the leader in the clubhouse. What do you think so far?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure her husband heard that one. He heard about that one.
Oh, for
oh,
sure.
Oh, yes. Your mama gave me.
What are you doing? Mom, I'm sleeping on the couch because you gave baby mama a thigh master right after she had our third baby.
What are you thinking?
That's pretty good. Lynn, you might be our leader in the clubhouse so far. So tweet at 1025_MD your worst Christmas gift, and we will give you a $100 gift card. We'll choose the best one, and we'll pick a winner at the end of the show today. We got to talk about sports.
Yeah, we got to talk about sports real quick. My daughter gave my son, it was more so a gag gift, but she wrapped up in a shoebox real nice and neat. And my son was so excited. This is when he was, it had to be about 9, somewhere around there. He was so excited. He saw the shoebox after he unwrapped. He was like, yes. He opens it. He pulls out the paper. She put a bunch of rocks in it. He was so mad.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, man, he was so mad. She put a bunch of rocks in there. I laughed so hard.
Blake on Twitter says, it wasn't for me, but my brother was gifted Rogaine by our grandmother.
Ooh.
And it was not a gag gift.
Ooh.
That just means grandma saying, dude, hey.
Does Rogaine really work?
The lettuce is not working up top.
I want to know somebody.
I don't know.
Somebody tweet us and tell us if you've used Rogaine and it really worked.
Matt tweeted us a formal picture of someone using the squatty potty.
Oh, wow. Wow.
At 1025_MD. Kenny on Twitter, every year my father gives me jumper cables. I think I might have read that one already.
Yeah.
So, and a few of you are trying to slide some not-so-clean jokes into the Twitter account here. I'm not going to read all of them. I don't just read what's on the screen.
He's not Ron Burgundy.
All right, so the college football playoff is set. Did the committee get it right? I know I promised you guys we were going to talk about that today, but we were distracted by the squatty potty. Mm-hmm. So we'll get back to that. The college football playoff is set. LSU won, Ohio State 2, but is that the right thing to do? Was that the right decision by the committee? We'll get to that when we return right here on Morning Drive. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live at Sudden Service Convenience Center out here on 500 Hickory Boulevard, right off of I-24, of course, up in Whites Creek. Come by, donate. You got school supplies for children, for kids. We got toys for kids as well that'll benefit the foundation that I work for, Our Kids, which is they take care of sexually abused children, and as well as winter clothing for all the homeless in this city that need warm clothing and things of that nature for the cold wintertime. Coming up, of course, Marquise, our main man, producing live from Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Number one, LSU. Number two, Ohio State. Number three, Clemson. Number four, Oklahoma. In your opinion, Derek, are those the right four teams? And did the committee get it right at number one?
I think they did. I think, you know, the dilemma was going to be if Georgia won, what then happens to LSU? Do they drop down to three? Do they drop down to four? That was going to be, you know, obviously the biggest dilemma. But Georgia lost, and I think the four teams that are in the playoffs are the right four teams. Now, you know, I guess it really doesn't matter who's 2 and 3. Because 2 and 3 got to play each other. But I thought the way Clemson destroyed Virginia and the way Ohio State struggled, at least in the first half against Wisconsin, I thought that Clemson earned the number 2 spot. But they didn't get it. Does it matter? No, it really doesn't. Because 2 and 3 play each other anyway, so it didn't matter.
Change the jersey. But,
exactly.
But being number one, if you're Ohio State,
would
have made you a 11-point favorite over Oklahoma. Instead, now you're an underdog to Clemson. So number one was arguably the most important decision. And Rob Mullins, the chairman of the committee, the Oregon athletic director, said the most heated debate and the biggest problem they had in the committee room was arguing about Ohio State versus LSU, 1 and 2.
Well,
you can make a case for Ohio State at number one.
After that game, there was no question. who was number one. After the you know, you throttled the number one defense in the SEC, the number two defense in the country.
Yep.
You ran through them like water through a strainer. There was no question who the number one team was. And your defense shut them down. So to me, there was no question about who the number one team was. Now, if it was a close game, then yes, you probably could have had a debate back and forth. But clearly, right now, as we sit, LSU is the number one team in the country. But there could be a legitimate argument who's number two.
I see. I don't think. I mean, listen. I like Clemson a lot. I think I'm gonna. I've picked.
But it doesn't. But it doesn't matter.
I'm picking Clemson to win the whole thing. But you cannot look at Clemson's strength of schedule and their wins and say they deserve to be number two ahead of Ohio State. I think Ohio State could look at its wins the last 3 weeks and they could say we beat a top 15 Penn State by double digits. We went on the road and crushed Michigan, top 15 Michigan on the road, 500 yards, 50 points, and then we came back and beat a top 10 Wisconsin by double digits, 13 points, even if they struggled in the first half. That's double-digit wins over top 15 teams 3 weeks in a row. And that's just the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You could argue, Ohio State fan, I have no problem with Ohio State fans saying, we deserve to be number one, and we got screwed because now we have to play Clemson instead of Oklahoma, whereas LSU gets Oklahoma. But I think LSU's the better team. I think LSU deserves to be number one.
Well, yeah, if you look at it, again, you know, you just rattled off the resume for Ohio State, and you're absolutely right.
That's just the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But, I mean, if you look at what LSU has done, you know, they beat Auburn. You know, they beat Alabama. You're talking number nine, number three, and then you beat number four, Georgia. You have beaten, at this point in time, the number seven team in the country at that time, which was Florida, the number nine team in the country, Auburn, the number three team in the country at the time, and the number four team in the country at the time. That's a resume that no one has. No one in the country has. No one in the country can say that we beat five top ten teams or four top ten teams. Nobody in the country can say that. LSU can. So to me, and then the way they beat Georgia, they made a top-ranked defense, the number one defense in the SEC, the number two defense in the country. They made the top-ranked defense in the SEC look like boys out there, like little kids.
Yeah, I mean.
There was nothing. I mean.
They were bringing three guys on pressure, and Joe Burrow just stood back for 8 seconds.
There was nothing that Georgia can do. And Kirby Smart is a defensive guy.
Yeah.
There was nothing that they could do to stop that offense, to slow that off. They didn't even slow that offense down.
No.
So, to me, that was going to be the test for me. How did that offense play against the top-ranked defense? Well, they manhandled
them. They smoked
them. Yeah.
You're not moving off LSU winning the whole thing.
Oh,
right?
No. LSU has proven to me they are by far the way their defense is playing now, they are healthier. The way their defense is playing now, they are the most complete team in National Football League, in college football. They're playing like an NFL team.
Yeah, and Joe Burrow probably won the Heisman. I submitted my ballot yesterday. I can't tell you guys who I voted for.
Okay.
You have to wait with bated breath to see if I voted for Joe
Burrow.
But
it's a quarterback.
I mean, maybe. We'll be able to tell you guys next week. Not that anyone will be shocked with my ballot or anything. Obviously, a huge day of college football news yesterday as well. Tennessee gets an invite to the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl in Florida against Indiana. That is 7 p.m. on January 2nd, so a primetime game the day after New Year's. You know, they sort of had to manipulate things at the SEC office to get what they wanted, much to the chagrin of Kentucky fans and maybe even the Music City Bowl, who ends up with Mississippi State and Louisville here in Nashville. It's a nice window for Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee to be in that slot and to be in the state of Florida where he knows he needs to recruit. So Tennessee wanted to be down there. They had in theory, they had the right to request that because they had the pecking order over Mississippi State and Kentucky due to head-to-head wins and the overall conference record. So they sort of deserve the right to do that if they wanted to. Just can't be smooth and easy and nice and for anything with Tennessee, though. There's got to be a drama attached to it or a story attached to it these days.
Well, I mean, this—you got to take your hat off to Jeremy Pruitt. If Ed Orgeron isn't having a season that he's having, then I can make a legitimate argument for Jeremy Pruitt being a coach of the year in the SEC because what he was able to do with the team that could have fell apart after the first four or five games. That team could have, we were looking for them to fall apart. And what did he do? He kept that team together and they started playing some of the best football in the SEC, at least in the East.
They never quit.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not trying to be a wet blanket here, but they didn't beat a single team with a winning SEC record.
No, you're right.
In the SEC. And Kentucky's the only team they beat overall with a winning record in the SEC, and they were 7-5. So, again, they didn't beat the good teams, but you know what? Beating the teams you're supposed to beat, again, is something Tennessee wasn't doing the last two seasons, and now they are. And so that's a big step
in
the
right direction. And I'm sure he will get some votes. He will get some votes for Coach of the Year. But what it does, I believe, is it helps him with recruiting.
Oh, yeah.
It helps him. He can go into a living room and say, hey, listen, you see what we've done here, what we're starting to do. You can, too, be a part of this. You know, our quarterback is coming back. Our defense is young and they're good. Our offense is getting better. We got two, young tackles, an offensive line that's getting better. We got a running back that is going to be explosive. He has a lot to sell to these kids now and their parents when he walks into the living room.
Other big news in bowl games: Memphis wins the AAC championship. They will go to the Cotton Bowl. That is a huge, huge success story for the Memphis football program as they beat Cincinnati for the second straight week. That is a $20 million paycheck they're going to get by going to the Cotton Bowl. And it's just Memphis, just a fantastic season. Now, unfortunately,
they lose the coach.
They lose their coach because when you do good things, here's my general quick thought on Memphis, my concern. Mike Norvell, the head coach, has left to take the Florida State job. Justin Fuente left to be the Virginia Tech head coach, and he looked like he rebounded and had a good year this year at Virginia Tech. It's impossible to find lightning in the bottle and find a guy to be that good at Memphis three times in a row. It's one thing to do it once. It's crazy impressive to do it twice, Fuente and Norvell. Now they got to do it a third time, and I'm concerned that that's not going to happen. That's going to be hard to find the right guy for a third straight hire at Memphis. That's a tough job.
I think they can do it. I think they can. There are a few candidates if I'm them, too, because eventually, Joe Brady is going to get an opportunity, I think, at the collegiate level first before he gets an opportunity at the NFL level, meaning head coach.
Right.
If I'm Memphis, I'm making a hard push for him. Why not? I mean, he's part of a staff that put together, one of the best offenses ever in the SEC. So why not go? I know he hadn't had the experience of being a head coach. He's young. I know
Very
all
young.
Of that stuff.
30
but
years old.
But you're going to a program that can do this. You can hire a young, inexperienced coach. Well, one thing he can do is call plays. I tell you
No question. And you're right. You can take risks at Memphis. There's no question. So maybe Joe Brady's the guy. Barry Odom's another one. Just got fired from Missouri. He was a defensive coordinator there at Memphis. That'd be a name. You could do a lot worse than Barry Odom, a former SEC coach at Memphis. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, my personal favorite piece of news from the entire weekend, and yes, that includes a Preds win and a Titans win, and the Vols going to a bowl game, and the college football playoff and an SEC championship. All that stuff.
What
was
can
great,
beat
Derek.
That? You want what to, can beat that?
You know what can beat that?
What?
Lane Kiffin back in the SEC West, baby. Lane, the train is there. He planted the plane yesterday. He is the Ole Miss head football coach. And did you see the video on Twitter? Some booster, some guy, some Ole Miss fans on the tarmac, and people are swamping him. And he's holding this kid's brand new, like, newborn baby. And this old boy grabs his baby back and he says, "Hey, get you a burner, man." He looks over to Lane Kiffin and says, "Get you a burner, man."
They starting already.
SEC, baby.
Oh, my goodness.
It just means more. And if there's one thing about Lane Kiffin from the University of Tennessee year 2009, it's that he created drama around the recruiting trail. He took shots at Urban Meyer. He took shots at other coaching staffs and other regions of the country, South Carolina with the Alshon Jeffrey thing. Even when he was leaving to go to USC, Coach O was recruiting players off his current recruiting class to go to USC. It was drama everywhere you turned in 2009 with Tennessee. Ole Miss just got in trouble for firing coach who had recruiting drama. It's a risky hire for Ole Miss, but I don't care. I love it. Give me the Lane train back in the SEC and back taking shots at Nick Saban every single year. I love
drama.
It.
Drama.
Give it to me.
Listen, he's
right to get, my veins.
He's going to – that program, that's going to be a talked about program.
Yes. Of course.
I think
that's
they're gonna. I think they're going to have some success too. I'm not saying they're going to win the West. They're going to have some success.
And they'll win football games too.
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin going to have a good time in the Grove, man.
Ooh.
No question about it.
Miss.
Preds got a big win on Saturday night. We cannot dive too deep in. We don't have enough time, in my opinion, to dive too deep into the Peter Laviolette questions and the statement he issued on Friday. We'll touch on it, but more importantly, the Preds got a big win. We'll give you an update on what took place Saturday night with the Preds, and we'll get back to the Titans next hour right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.